going on, Northeast Portland? This is Dante Graham Preston, a.k.a. Solace, and you are now listening to the Analog Digital Podcast, where dialogue is always pivotal. Welcome back. You're listening to the Analog Digital Podcast, where dialogue is always pivotal. The main focus of this podcast is to, you know, bridge the communication divide between the older and younger generations. In that vein, I am in the studio right now with one of my main homeboys, Mr. Antoine Simmons. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, man, I'm just surviving and thriving, or more like surviving, but you know what I mean.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're surviving, you're going to get to the thrive at some point.
Some point.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump off into this vortex, if you will. Last week, Kanye West made a visit to the Oval Office to create a dialogue of sorts with Donald Trump. The issues they were supposed to be covering, stop and frisk in Chicago, prison reform, you know, creating more organic jobs in Chicago, right, to try to curb the gun violence, try to curb, you know, the socioeconomic inequality. So he's in this Oval Office and just spouting some of the most amazing rhetoric that I've heard in some time. I believe he said something about, if the president doesn't look dope, if the president doesn't look good, then we don't look good. Now, what do you now? When I first heard that, I'm thinking, hold on, wasn't that the tag phrase from like a Maybelline cosmetics commercial back in the day? If like, you don't look good, we don't look good.
That might have been. Or it might have been in Jet magazine or something.
Yeah, Essence or something. I saw it somewhere.
Essence. Yeah, Jet. Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, so if all you expect from a sitting president is to fulfill a cosmetics tagline, we probably need to have some legitimate conversation, Kanye. You know? I went through the entire half hour.
Is that how long the show is?
That's how long this segment was.
Well, what they showed.
Yeah, what they showed, right. Yeah. So that was Genesis to Revelations, and I wanted to end like in purgatory somewhere halfway through.
Right.
But I forced myself to listen to the rest of the spectacle. You had Jim Brown was also there.
Jim Brown's old ass.
Yeah, he was there just sort of looking like, I mean, you know, all Jim Brown fans, you know, I apologize for this, but he was sort of looking like Steven in Django. He sort of had that house element to him. And it was very saddening for me to see this. I mean, because, you know, Jim Brown was one of my football heroes.
I think the last time I seen Jim Brown was in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Was he in that?
I think he may have.
He was a dude that shot himself up, remember? And he shot himself in the toe, and his bunions was like.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, he was in that. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Ooh. Shout out to Robert Townsend, man.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Yeah, anyway, that was only.
Yeah, right? No. Oh, you went deep on that one, Digital. You went deep on that one. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. The one-legged woman.
Yeah.
We can make it work, baby.
Where are you going?
Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, let's get back to this. Okay, Kanye West. All right. College dropout, late registration. This is not an indictment of his creative talent or ability, because obviously he has it in spades.
Right.
He's a bona fide musical genius. I will give him that. Mm-hmm. However, he should not be mic'd up. I don't believe that he should be mic'd up, because some of the comments that came out of his mouth were just utterly astounding to me. At one point, Antoine, he goes, "I love this dude," and runs up to give the president a hug and a dap out. And I mean, that's cool, man. I mean, whatever your political affiliation is, that's fine. But when you have a platform that large, you can't afford, it's gross negligence to not be as informed as you possibly can be before you go among the cameras like that and spit half-truths and untruths and blatant ignorance. That's what I saw. I saw a lot of blatant ignorance. Mm-hmm. But Kanye's got too much money to be ignorant.
No, see, I don't know, man. You know what
I'm saying? I mean, come on, man.
I think, for one, you know, I totally understand your position on this, and I understand everybody's position on this. Have I seen this? No. This week, honestly, I've been really unplugged, right. Which is, you know, you have to do that sometimes. But everybody always, yo, what do you think about this guy? Man, I knew Kanye was at the White House before, I can't even remember what day it was in the morning. Like, right. Everybody's already texting me, right. Bro, you see this? Right. Bro, you see how
my... sort of feeds into, ultimately, I think, one of Kanye's major intents or goals is to make sure that he's always the center of everything and anything.
Well, I think, okay, and then other thing, right? Like I said, I appreciate it and I see how you looking at it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that, you know, I mean, we don't have any MLKs. We don't have any,
Malcolm
X. No, X. Who are the leaders of our time now?
Right, for sure.
It's not Kanye.
No.
And so we should not give him that power.
That credence.
So, okay, you can have money.
Right.
And be ignorant, just like Trump.
True that.
You could have this accessibility and say a lot of half-truths, just like Trump.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you could just like Trump. Right?
Yeah.
I mean...
So, and I'm not sitting here and saying Kanye is like Trump, but what, why not? Or, everything that you just said, if you was to replace Kanye's name with Trump, it would still ring true,
not hollow. So, I see that point. No, that's a very good point, because to me, it looked like a classic situation of, I mean, you know that phrase, game recognizes game and like sees like. That was a display of like seeing like, right? And almost too much, because I mean, how often do you see Donald Trump look nervous? Mm-hmm. Kanye, towards the tail end of his monologue, Kanye goes, "I bet you didn't think you'd ever see a motherfucker like me in the White House backing you up." And I was like, wow. Are you guys, I mean, that's the Oval Office, right? That's not the block. Did you just drop like a legitimate motherfucker in the middle of
dialogue? To a motherfucker that talks about grabbing pussies?
Right? And
come on, bro.
I know. I see the parallels.
So is it that crazy?
But I mean, dude,
Kim Kardashian put her ass on. Is it that crazy?
I guess it's not that far.
Bill Clinton got his dick sucked under there. Is it that crazy? I don't know.
It's not that far fetched. It caught me off guard, man. It caught me off guard.
Right.
I mean, Common was there. You know, when Obama was there, and they really jumped on. They jumped on Common. And Common, you know, Common don't be dropping F bombs. Common just be flowing.
Right.
But now the GOP, I mean, there's a certain element of puppetry going on here that's strategically fascinating, yet very dangerous, right?
Mm.
Point one, the GOP and Donald Trump think that they're getting a legitimate percentage of the African-American population because they had Kanye at the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to everyone listening, that's patently untrue. The African American community is not a monolith of intellectual thought. So you got to miss me with that.
That's real analysis. That is.
And secondly, I think we just need to understand. You know, a basketball player is going to play basketball, right? A comedian is going to do comedy. You know, a musician is going to play music, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you should lend them any credence. In topics of politics or socioeconomics or prison reform, I mean, you're not qualified to do that. That's not where your genius is.
Right.
So just fall back, play your position. Now, if this is now, and I'm speaking directly to the African American, you know, and, you know, Latino populations where issues of mental health are not always addressed as they should be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's been a major, you know, impediment to, I think, both of our cultures. We need to really start paying attention to this.
Right.
You know, if you need some help, reach out. You know, if you know someone else who needs some mental health, you know, and they're your friend and you got love for them, you got to address that. Because I think what we're seeing with Kanye outside of the megalomania,
right,
is you know, a legitimate, like, I'm off my meds and I got some type of a mental problem. You know, mm-hmm. I don't see Kanye doing this when he was dropping late registration or college dropout.
So, but then when we get to the idea of that, which is very real, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because I always say that too, especially with the African-American community, I constantly have to deal with trauma,
right,
and on levels that you have no idea. You know, most people really don't. But then it's like, okay, was he on meds when he did the college dropout stuff? And all, I always feel like that's what everybody, that's their go-to.
Right.
They go, college dropout, well, Kanye. I personally like 808s and Heartbreaks, Kanye. But look, yeah, that's when it started being weird, though.
Right. That's a
but that's when he started being weird. And what time? Remember around that area in his life?
Right.
What happened?
For sure. I think his mother had
his mom
passed,
died.
His mother passed away. Right. Yeah. Right.
And then the Amber Rose thing.
Yes.
Remember Amber Rose?
I do remember that.
And I'm not saying that any woman is, responsible for any man's mental health, but yeah, with, you know, sure, the heartbreak in that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And then his mom, right, and no, then.
I get it. I can understand.
He started with the Kim Kardashian.
I know.
And I seen somewhere on a rumor mill today that she was getting a divorce.
Really?
Like, I don't know if this is true. Let me Google this. I see this is.
When in doubt, get to the Google.
Yeah, you know, I feel like maybe I would know this by now. But anyway, yeah. Okay. But the timing of this is crazy. So, what was he always on drugs?
I don't know if he. You know, I think around the time when he said George Bush doesn't care about black people, I don't know if that's him being off meds or that's just him
exactly.
as his personality. So you really can't tell. What I am saying
mm-hmm.
is that he himself has referred to this notion of a sunken place,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I interpret as being a deep state of depression of some sort, you know, mm-hmm. or manicness, or bipolar. Either you're up or you're down. I think he's down,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think in order to fill up again, he has to be in that spotlight. But it's not serving him well, and it's definitely not serving just the entirety of the populace, especially the African American populace. It's not serving us very well, man.
Right.
When you know you have that much power, a platform, regardless of what you're going through, if you really are trying to be a leader, you got to be a leader. Even when being a leader,
man, is he being a leader though?
Can he? He's not. He is not. He's being grossly negligent.
He's just being his. Like he's just doing himself. It for yeah.
Right.
You know but I mean? We are giving him that power.
Right. For sure.
Of being a leader.
No, but it comes back to, I was having this conversation with my brother, Antoine. Thank you for picking up. Thank you for bringing this up to me. It's like, at what point do we in the African-American community excommunicate an individual who's mm-hmm. way off the reservation?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we, you know, we like to, you know, not forget, but like forgive and bring them in because we understand, you know.
That's what we did to Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson,
OJ. OJ wasn't even black until he got in trouble.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like, but at some point, you got to cut bait. I really believe in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not devoid yourself of love for an individual and hope that they get better, but it's like, nah, dude, you don't speak for us.
Yeah.
You don't speak for us, so stop speaking.
Mm. All right, well, we just got to stop listening.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, no, I haven't heard it yet, but maybe I'll watch it. Right. We'll see what happens.
Now, one thing I want to bring to the listeners' attention, if you haven't been following this, around the same time that Kanye was at the Oval Office engaging in this rhetorical banter with Donald Trump, Floridians were still feeling the initial impact of the hurricane, right? Thousands upon thousands of people have lost their homes. I don't know if we have a legitimate death count yet,
mm-hmm.
But during this time period, these are issues that weren't being covered. Okay, so the situation in Florida. Read up on that if you haven't already. And then a voter suppression situation going on in Georgia, where 53,000 potential votes are being held sort of like in limbo because they have this identical verification law that is now being challenged in the state of Florida. So, you know, keep your ears peeled for situations like that, because, I mean, if we have blocks of individuals to the tune of 53,000 whose votes are being held hostage, essentially, then that's really a bad deal for our democracy.
Yeah. I mean, we got to be on top of it, or we're going to have people like Kanye speaking for everybody. So, but you don't have to have Kanye speaking for you. You could go out, you could register to vote, you could vote, and you could do...
Please register to vote. The midterms are in 22 days. So if you have not registered to vote, you need to get up on that like hot grits, for real. This is the Analog Digital Podcast. I am your host, Dante Graham Preston. I'm here with one of my closest homies, Antoine Simmons.
Thank you for listening. You know how it is, man. We'll be right back after these slaps. Sloppy Josephina, the whiskey ballerina. Well, tell me, have you seen her? She won't return my letters no more. Sloppy Josephina, the whiskey ballerina. Turn my letters no more. Minutes turned to hours, and hours turned into days. She refused to sit around and watch me drink my life away. Hennessy for your lips.
Hennessy for your lips.
And better looks tomorrow.
And better looks tomorrow.
You said your heart was broken into pieces. So I gave you mine to borrow.
I gave you mine to borrow.
See, I was a better man.
I was a better man.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We were just listening to the sounds of a group called Puff Puff Beer. We faded out that first segment with Sloppy Josephina and came into the second segment with Strippers. This is the Analog Digital Podcast. I am your host, Dante Graham Preston, a.k.a. Solace, and I'm here with a close homeboy of mine, Mr. Antoine Simmons. How are you feeling today, sir?
I'm good. Just trying to make it through. You like I always do, man.
Yeah, you know, we out here. Now, Antoine is actually the front man for Puff Puff Beer. I believe I met Antoine a couple years ago on a
It's been a couple of years already.
Has it been a couple of years?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. On something we call the porch in the neighborhood. It's a porch where we congregate and we discuss all things worldly and otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I ran into this young brother. So, Antoine, why don't you tell the people a little bit of something about yourself. Where are you from originally?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm originally from Texas, Dallas, Texas, South Side, you know.
There you go.
Shout out to all those people that are there still. This is a time of year that I wish I was there because it's still kind of warm.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the seasons. But, yeah, I'm from Texas. I moved up here. About 7 years ago, by the way of Denver. I was living in Denver for a while, 4 years. And then I was like, I moved to Wyoming. Wyoming was cool. I lived there for like 3 years. I lived in the Bay for a little bit. I met a lot of my really good homies in the band, actually. Puff Puff Beard, some of the music that we were playing, like Sloppy Josephine and all that, you know, and Strippers. I met all those cats in Eugene, actually.
All right.
That was cool. I could have easily, just stayed in the Bay, but I figured, I still had a little bit of adventure to do, so I came up here, and been up here ever since. I still enjoy it. It's nice.
All right. Now, when you first moved to Portland, what part of the city were you living in?
Downtown, southwest, on the Park Blocks.
Okay.
Next to PSU. Yeah.
What was that vibe?
Real
like
active.
For you?
Right. It's real active. I got a lot of friends from that part of my life too. Right. Shout out to everybody that I've met at that time in my life. Y'all still running around. That shit was crazy, though. I had to get out from out there, boy. Or from down there.
Yeah, from down there. Now, from downtown, where did you travel to?
I moved to Southeast. Southeast was cool. I still like Southeast.
Right.
You always like, where you doing in Southeast? I like Southeast, man.
Man, it's territorial things, man. I'm just playing.
Yeah. This is the area that you grew up in.
Northeast Portland, man. That's the soul, bro.
Yeah, I get it. That's what people say. That was the soul.
Right.
That was, I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, I wish, I don't know. I wish I had more of an idea how Northeast used to be.
Right, right.
Because
you
have that. I feel like you carry that with you.
Right, for sure. It's tough not to. You have to. A lot of that just, it defines you. A lot of that richness defines you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Good and bad. You know what I'm saying?
It really changed that much?
Yeah, it did, man. It changed vastly. I mean, I left to go to San Francisco in 2001, came back in 2007, man, and the movement was afoot, right? All of Alberta, they had completely, gentrified all of Alberta. I'm more running around. Whereas you used to just see, like, gang members and thugs, now I'm looking at people on super high bikes, like circus bikes, maybe clothed, maybe not.
That's wild.
I don't know. But I mean, things happen. Yeah,
right.
Portland's not the only city to
to
fall victim to the onslaught of gentrification. But
yes.
Positives and negatives. What brought you to Northeast? Because now we live like a block away, bro.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I had some homies that kind of moved over here. And it was like, hey, we got a spot open. And I was like, I was coming off tour. I need another place to crash. So I've just been here in this neighborhood ever since. It's been about, I think I'm going on like 3 years. So I met you like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I've already been over here for about 3 years now. Yeah, I like it though, man. Right. It's cool. It's chill. Like I get to like hide. I feel like that's what I do out here in Northeast. And Southeast, I feel like I just know more people.
Yeah.
And it's in downtown also.
I got you. Yeah.
But Northeast, it's very neighborhoody, which is dope. I think once you put energy into meeting people, you will, just like any other place. But it is more of a neighborhood. I feel like when I was living downtown, it was like people just out and open a little bit more. Back in the day, like what you were saying, if it was still probably like that, it'd be probably a little easier to meet people. But
that's
how I met you guys on the porch. You guys are visible.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
It's not, I don't really see that as much,
Exactly. So I'm speaking with Mr. Antoine Simmons, a close homie of mine.
AKA Twan Sachs.
Check me out. He's the front man for Puff Puff Beer. So, this was a nice segue into my follow-up question. How did you let the listeners know who the members of your band? I wanted to know, how did you make those connections with them in Oakland?
Oh, yeah, no, I actually met them in Eugene. Oh, we were all going to school. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I met them there. Ryan's a guitar player. Scoob is a singer. Carson is a bass player. Ian is on keys. Isaac is a drummer. But, yeah, no, we've been together for a while, man. Y'all should definitely check us out. They're real cool cats. I think I'm going to be back around here after the year, unfortunately, okay, because I'm working on some other projects. And y'all know when that drops. I'll make sure to plug that in on a later date so you guys will know what I'm up to.
Okay, so let's get a little bit more into the essence and the music. What got you into music originally?
Oh, man. Music has always been a backdrop, you know, of everybody's lives. I just kind of, honestly, just kind of stumbled into this. I was mostly just doing performance art, and I do videography mostly, too. Okay. And I started this band just to have fun, and then people started liking it. And then it just, you know, it just kept going. So a lot of ways, like, we kept going because other people wanted to hear it.
Right.
You know, I felt like, I was just like, oh, okay, you know, but hey, what y'all gonna do? Yeah. Right. So then we just kept going. So okay, it's been cool, man. Rise, you know, I've been blessed, you know, it's cool.
You guys generate a lot of legitimate energy. I've been watching some of your segments on YouTube and some of your so far performances. And I mean, there's definitely an energy on stage and off the stage. Mm-hmm. That everyone seems to want to tap into.
Right, right.
I'm assuming that's what you're striving for. Because my next question is, well, what do you hope? Like, when you create music, like, what are you hoping to do? Just
Some
steam, you know, just...
Yeah, I just, like, want to say a bunch of stuff that I may be going through. And this is one of the first things I, like, kind of understood when I started writing and everything from off the top. Like, you know, what you're going through is the same as probably, like, countless other people, mm-hmm. and that's what they want to hear. Like, some people don't have that outlet to do that, so I kind of just fell into that. Well, I was like, you know what, well, if I'm helping somebody, if somebody else is feeling this too, and, you know, it's kind of like that connection, it's that vibe, you know. And all that stuff is available on every platform too: YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. Go. Check us out.
Yeah, definitely,
you know,
definitely.
Drop some lines, add us on Facebook. We always trying to get our numbers up,
you
know.
There you go. All right, and I have one more question. What do you got on heavy rotation? Because we always, Antoine and I always, whenever we're together, we always discuss music. What are we listening to? What's in heavy rotation?
Oh, man, you already know I'm listening to Larry Jude all the time.
Now, like, all the time.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Like, damn, bro.
You know, that's
on.
What I listen
can
to.
We
just like,
can we
Larry
diversify
Jude.
This portfolio? I mean, I like Larry Jude a lot. Now, Larry Jude.
Too. Hey, back to what I was saying, now, though. Like, he's so truthful with his shit.
For sure.
And when he was in his new song, I sent it to you. And he said, he had this line where he's like, my life is real smooth. I'm popping Willies on the Golden Gate. You know, like, I thought it was so ill to me. And he was talking about, like, oh, yeah, I wake up in the morning, you know, make some juice, fold my clothes.
He's a big fan of oranges, ladies.
And eating healthy and all that, which I appreciate that. And, you know, back to what you was kind of talking about in the last segment with black mental health, you know, and that black mental health, physical health is the other part of it too. I've seen a little thing with LeBron James talking about bicycling and all that.
It's
real, you know, like, health should not just be a white people thing. It shouldn't be a class thing. It's an all people thing. So I appreciate that about Larry June, because he talks about health and all that, like getting his credit right. When Jay-Z said, oh, yo, you know what's better than spending money in a strip club? Credit, right? And I was like, the craziest line on the whole album. Why is that? Because this is so taboo, because we don't talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. We as a community, we need to get a lot better at that. And if you are a leader, you know, of your generation, or someone who other people listen to, these are all legitimate concepts. These are longevity concepts. These are like financial security, emotional security, mental health security concepts. So they're not corny.
Right.
We need to be able to push them, because it's not corny.
And we all got a platform. I mean, even if you got, you know, a Facebook with 200, you know, friends and followers, man, there you go, that's 200 people that are at least looking at you, even if they ain't paying attention all the way, or may disagree or agree with what you're saying. If you put it out there and you're doing some good stuff and trying to stay positive in some type of way,
there you go.
Just do it, man.
Spit those bars, Antoine. You are currently listening to the Analog Digital Podcast.
Yeah,
where dialogue is always pivotal. I am your host, Dante Graham Preston, a.k.a. Silas. I'm here with one of my main men in intellectual analysis, Mr. Antoine Simmons.
A.k.a. Antoine Sachs. You know what it be, man.
There you know. Just trying to survive. Check out Puff Puff Beer. This is his clique. This is his musical entourage, and they're well worth the listen.
All right. Yeah, you know. Hey, we'll be right back after this next lap.
Yeah.
My baby knows I won't die. As I go over the edge, she wipes the tears from her eyes. Life is a matrix and I'm feeling chosen. So I keep my cup full of whiskey, popping pills to go under. My mind is so gone, I've been blazed. My body's been floating for days. I can't feel the floor on my face. Don't know how I got into this place. My baby knows I won't die.
Welcome back, everyone. You were listening to the sounds of Puff Puff Beer. I'm trying to tell you, man, major slaps, bro.
Hey, thanks, man. You guys been doing it for a while, so.
You better get out here, man. Get out here in these streets again.
It's been hungry. You know, you got to take your time with it sometimes, you know.
Let it marinate and percolate.
Yeah. Because if you in it like that, you're trying to get stuff done.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and you want something to stick. It's easy to do the easy shit.
Right. So, well, I appreciate that. You guys are listening to the Analog Digital Podcast, where dialogue is always pivotal. I'm your host, Dante Graham Preston, a.k.a. Solace. I'm here with my main man, Mr. Antoine Simmons.
How you doing?
Puff Puff Beer.
Yes, sir.
And the
yes,
whole
sir.
Line. We only have a couple more issues to discuss. Let's bend into the realm of athletics. This weekend, man, Oregon versus Washington. It was a phenomenal game. Go Ducks. I went to U of O.
Yeah.
I rock Ducks out here. It was a very well played and strategized game, but you know, Oregon just was able to outlast, you know.
Y'all are funny, man.
Shout out to CJ Varnell, the running back who ran in that go ahead walk off touchdown. That really, you know, I love situations where an athlete gets to redeem himself. The game against Stanford, which we lost by 3 points, and had we not lost, we would be undefeated. But he had a mental mistake, a mental lapse that led to a critical turnover, which ultimately allowed Stanford to win the game.
Right.
But the head coach, Mario Cristobal, shout out, man, still had enough faith in this young man to seal the deal against Washington, and he was able to do so.
Right on.
So, shout out Duck
Nation. Was that the running back y'all gave
that, CJ Varnell, the running back, right?
Okay,
you know?
All right. Duck Nation.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. 1 minute you fumble, the next minute you win the game.
Yeah.
You just got to stay in your lane, man.
That's real.
You know, maintain.
That's real spill.
Maintain your confidence. Okay, let me see. Mr. Simmons, do you have any professional football analysis?
Oh, see, I guess I'm the
I love football.
I like basketball too, so I'll do my justice to keep up with that. You know, we just watched the Packers pull off yeah, a
shout
victory.
Out to Aaron Rodgers, man, what's up, though?
Yeah, man.
He getting his zone.
He's a bad man. That's getting like my zone. Favorite quarterback, man. So,
so who were they with?
He's a bad man. We were just playing the Niners.
They were playing San Francisco 49ers.
Which is, Niners a great team, too, man. I like that organization. That's where Sherman plays now, too. Richard Sherman from Seattle.
Okay, all right.
Well, yeah, because he went to Stanford.
Yes.
You know, he's a real interesting dude, you know. But anyway, yeah, he's out there. That's cool. Yeah, no, so the league is, everything is back to normal. This is the first part of the season. Everything's out of whack. It's like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like the dude, the Bears, you know, whatever his name is. I forget the quarterback's name, but he threw like 6 touchdowns in one game. And I was like, what?
Right.
You know, and
right,
it's like everything's out of whack. And then all of a sudden, everything comes back to fruition. Okay, now the Patriots is winning again. You know, the Cowboys, go back to what it's supposed to be doing. You know, the Cowboys whooped on the Jags,
right.
And the Jags is always supposed to get whooped on. You know what I mean? They have always gotten whooped on. That's what, you know what Jags stand for, right?
No,
it's just another guy.
That's just another guy.
Yeah.
Getting served up. Hey,
sir.
Hey,
cookies.
Jacksonville. I don't want that smoke. You know this. You know,
40. They laid 40
Antoine's
points on
Antoine's opinion
them.
Doesn't necessarily reflect the opinions of the podcast.
Ain't no, but it is what it is. Though I mean, 40 points.
I am liking that. Just another guy, though.
Yeah,
that's a cold acronym.
That's what it is. You're a Jag. Just another guy. Yeah. Right. So that's crazy, though. But yeah, as far as the league stuff is cool. Actually, I was watching this quick little snippet because I was going down YouTube. Rabbit hole,
right?
But I was watching this snippet. This dude made a real good argument about how he believed Bill Belichick threw the last Super Bowl.
Okay,
which the last one we were referring to is the one with the Philly,
Philly,
right?
Yeah.
So think about this. I'm gonna just go ahead and lay this on you real quick because this is real interesting to me, man.
Give me that look, like you got. So
this is real interesting.
Dime to drop.
No, this is real interesting stuff, man. I don't know if you really up on it as much, but I'll, you know, go ahead and explain it to you. Okay, so the Kraft family and Bill Belichick, you know, they go way back, you know, and all this stuff. And I think Bill Belichick wanted to, this is what it is, right?
Right.
He wanted to trade Tom Brady because Tom Brady's getting up there. So they're trying to get a little something for him before they, because he can get a lot with Tom Brady.
Yeah, open market.
42
right
now.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's get rid of it. Like, just what they did with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Brett Favre.
Yeah. It makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, you get, let's get something passes. For the guy, move on. They had Jimmy G.
Yeah.
And so Jimmy G was the quarterback they shipped off to the Niners.
Okay.
Right? For a second.
Round draft pick?
Yeah, that's nothing. That's free. Yeah. That dude was supposed to be the Aaron Rodgers of the Patriots now.
Okay.
Right? Because he's been there forever, and the guy's great.
Sure. Yeah, for
you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And
for
so he ships him off for nothing.
Right.
Who else did they let go of? Oh, and they set Butler. Remember they set Butler
they
in
did.
The Super Bowl,
yeah,
which is the
did.
Best corner they yeah. had. He's the right. reason they beat Seattle.
Right. Yeah,
you know?
Fact.
So he
fact.
Sits Butler, right?
Right.
He ships away Cook. Remember, they got that big name receiver Cook.
Right, yeah, for sure. So they shipped him off as well.
Yeah, so this is Bill Belichick is the fucking strategist of strategists.
Yes, he seems to be.
And so think about it like this. So he let all them people go. And you know what? If we're going to keep Tom Brady, he going to have to beat teams now. Think about it.
Oh, I see.
He really took away all his weapons.
Right.
That's Bill Belichick's weapons. He's like, that's my guy.
Right.
Guess what? I'm sending him
to
the Niners. Boom. Go play over there. Oh, no. You don't. Oh, you. I'm going to sit Butler.
Right.
Hey, Tom. Oh, you want Tom? You want us to sink or swim with Tom Brady? Well, guess what? He's going to have to. Think about it, man. Bill Belichick. Tom Brady. Shout out to Tom Brady. But if Tom Brady didn't have Gronk, and this is the other thing. And the trainer. They sent the trainer off. Do you remember all that?
I vaguely remember that. I mean,
they sent the trainer off too.
Right. So that's just an arsenal of weaponry.
That
support. And
Bill Belichick said, "You know what? Nah."
Okay.
And if you guys should check this out. We'll have maybe I'll add a description in a link or so a description in a link. But it was really interesting, man, and it made so much sense because if you were a big football fan and you watched that last Super Bowl, it kind of didn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, it was like. Bill Belichick really wasn't coaching that game.
Right.
he hasn't been really doing.
Well, what do you think? Ultimately, what do you think? What's the end game? Just to usher in a new transition? I think so.
I think, you know, just egos. Right. And Bill Belichick has, dude, you all remember New England? I mean, all the old heads probably do. Y'all remember New England. New England has never been nothing.
Right.
And so back to what I was saying, you know, you go through a cycle of stuff.
You have to.
But it comes back, right back around. Right. After Tom Brady's gone, guess what? Then Bill Belichick might, I think this is his last year. You heard it here for here first, telling you.
All right.
Dark ages?
Is that what you're predicting?
Then you're going right back to New England being weak. Okay. Whack. Who else is there?
All right. No, I hear you. Yeah, it's pretty much Bill Bones as is, you know?
Yeah. It's like, okay, Bill Belichick, go ahead and retire.
Right.
Or not even retire. I see him going to another team.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady retire.
Right.
Then guess what? Right. You're just another guy.
The pronouncement of Antoine Simmons. He's right now on the audio of the analog digital podcast. Man, that blew my mind. Now I'm messing up my own catchphrase. Lord have mercy.
I don't know. There's just stuff like that. I was just like, man, that was
a dark ages is upon us in New England.
Yeah.
We shall see how Belichick moves.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? From the ashes you come, and the ashes you shall return.
Get your phoenix on. Yeah, but you definitely don't want to be. Oh man, you never want to be just another guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay, we're going to ride with that. I like the over-under on that. So, I'm picking Antoine. Plus, I just like saying dark ages. Welcome to the dark ages. Okay.
We in the last days.
Here we go. We got a Halloween creeping up on us in about 2 weeks. Antoine, do you know of any events that you should let the listeners know
about? Well, we talked about the Diggable Planets, which is
awesome.
Okay,
so we got Diggable Planets. They're going to be playing October 31st. Shout out to Doodlebug, Ladybug, and Butterfly. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, check that out. My homie's actually the drummer for that. I forgot to tell you about that last time, our last segment. If you didn't check that out, go listen to it. It's real good. But yeah, my homie's a drummer for them, actually. Conrad. Shout out to Conrad, man. He lives up in Seattle, but he goes on tour with them. I totally forgot about that. But I'll probably come and see you. I just found out that Lil B is going to be in town. Bass guy. I don't know.
Well, explain it to the people. The people may know.
Analog
digital, man. Dialogue always feels
good. So Lil B, man, you talk about the bass god. He's like, Soulja Boy.
Yeah, Soulja Boy.
So he gets all the credit for the ringtone rappers.
Okay, all right.
Right?
Okay.
But Lil B and Soulja Boy were like some of the first people to really hone in on the internet.
Okay,
all
right.
On the YouTubes and all that stuff. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So Lil B was like, he was like heavy with the memes.
I got you. Okay.
You know? And like just before it was even like a thing.
Before it was a thing. Okay.
You know, and like just an out of sight dude. He gets a lot of respect. Joe Budden actually used to hate on him hard. I don't know. You guys look this up, man.
Joe Budden like to hate on everybody.
But he got hella respect for Lil B. Man.
Okay, he does.
Because he hated it on Lil B. Like, just me and you talking right now, right? Sure. And if we were to throw this podcast up tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And they say, hey, Lil B, Joe Budden hating on you.
Yeah.
Lil B made a rap song, diss song called T-Shirt Buttons, video, all the next day.
Okay. All right.
So just that turnaround.
So he gets after it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. And he has a Guinness Book of World Records for the most hip-hop songs.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the bass guy, man. So the bass guy, Google that if you ain't never heard of that dude. It might not be your cup of tea, but check out Ellen DeGeneres. That's like one of my favorite songs, Ellen DeGeneres. Like a Martian. That's a good one. This nigga's out there, bro.
Okay. All right.
Like, he's out there, but he's my guy.
Okay.
And you know what? I really want to go see him, but if I don't get a chance to check him up here, I'm definitely go check him out sometime. Okay. But he's playing at Halloween, too. I think it's at the Crystal.
Okay. So, all right. So we got Lil B.
Tickets are $25. So.
$25.
Yeah.
We got Lil B, the bass god, playing Halloween, October 31st, as well as Diggable Planets. Now, that is a perfect combination of analog being Diggable Planets and digital being Lil B.
I like how you freak that.
Oh, Lord have mercy, man. This is what we do out here, player. All right. So thank you one and all for listening. This is the Analog Digital Podcast. My name is Dante Grant Preston, a.k.a. Solace, and I am here with none other than Antoine Simmons, the front man for Puff Puff Beer. If you don't know about it, you better get to know about it.
And thanks to all the supporters out there.
Podcast is produced in conjunction with Open Signal, so thank you very much, Open Signal. Get on your interwebs, Google Open Signal. They are doing phenomenal things for the kids in the community, Northeast Portland. And if you don't know what they do, get down there and figure it out and participate, right? Because these are all legitimate multimedia resources intended for individuals who live in the neighborhood. So go get out there, learn a skill, learn a trade, get out there and create.
Do your thing, man. And thanks again for having me, man.
Wow, thank you for being here. In honor of Halloween, I think we're going to fade out with a little bit of, how about a little bit of Michael Jackson's Thriller?
I was thinking the Monster Mash.
Yeah, okay, well, I mean, the Monster Mash, which one? Nah, we got to go with that Thriller, baby. Let's hit him with that Q Jones. Oh, shout out to Quincy Jones. Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen his documentary,
watch that documentary.
It's done extremely well. Yeah. And Rashida Jones, I see you.
Oh, I always see Rashida Jones.
All right, now, you guys be good out here. Keep listening. Keep thinking. One.
Hey folks, this is Dante Grant Preston with the Analog Digital Podcast. There are three issues that I'd like to resolve. Two mistakes and one misstatement. First, the "if you don't look good, we don't look good" tagline was not from the Maybelline Cosmetics commercial series. It was actually from Vidal Sassoon's shampoo line. Secondly, "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker" was not directed by Robert Townsend. It was actually directed by Kenan Ivory Wayans. But I'd like to thank both directors for all of their collective creativity throughout the years. And thirdly, sadly enough, we will not be able to fade out this segment with Michael Jackson's Thriller due to copyright infringement issues. Instead, we will fade out the segment with some more music from Antoine's band Puff Puff Beer. So I hope that you thoroughly enjoy and go and check them out whenever you can. Again, this is the Analog Digital Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Graham Preston, a.k.a. Silas. Shout out to the Old Dominion crew. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again or have you listen again next week. Peace.
Go.